And so I've been rounding up, albeit temporarily, on the message, the name of Jesus, this morning, that I started. This is the fourth in that series. And I'll be rounding up briefly today and get us to call the name Jesus. It occurred to me that we call on the name Jesus today for creative miracle. If in your life there's something that is not existing and you are trusting God, you call on the name of Jesus and it will be created today in the name of Jesus. If there's something missing, you call on the name Jesus and it will come. It will come like that in the name of Jesus. You know, because we have that spirit that calleth things that were not as if they are. We have that spirit. That's the kind of spirit that we have. Praise God. We don't have the kind of spirit that sees things and believe. We have the spirit. That's the spirit that you have on the inside of us. It is the spirit that believes, and that thing will be seen. The spirit of this world will see and believe. But what is the need to believe for things that have been seen? The people of this world will confirm through their utterance what has existed or what is existing. But see, our own spirit, we call forth things that had not existed. But you know something, you need to get this. It is not that they are not existing. Actually, they are existing, albeit in the spirit. Praise God. Because a believer, through the spirit that you have, listen to me this morning. A believer, through the spirit that you have, actually is pregnant of everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's why the Bible says, out of the rivers, the rivers, you know, of your heart shall flow. It will flow from the inside of you because you are a container of everything that pertains to life and godliness. So, it is there. That is why you have an ability to call things that you haven't seen into existence. Because actually, it's been there in your spirit. Now, what energizes you to be able to call it, therefore, is for a believer to use a spiritual eyes to actually see that those things are there. So what refrains, limits a believer, therefore, is if a believer cannot see from the spiritual eyes that which I don't have actually is in my belly. When you're able to see, have an insight. If you have an insight that there is life in my belly, then you can speak forth life. That is the difference between the kind of the spirit we have and the kind of the spirit that the world has. Our own spirit will speak into existence things that have never happened. Because actually in the spirit, they have happened. So, you are aligning your spirit with the spirit of God to speak into life that which you have not seen. Amen. And it's important for us to know that the instrumentality through which we create is the name of Jesus. The platform, the basis, the energy through which we create all things is in the name of Jesus. And that's why these messages of the past 4 weeks or the 4 series preach in 5 weeks, you know, it means 1 week I have to go to another church. It's critical. So you need to listen to them again. The messages I preach on the name of Jesus is like the set of messages I preached when we started this church. And I'll tell you, these messages, go back and listen to them. You need it. I said to us that if we can listen and listen and listen again, our lives will begin to transform on a gradual basis. And so what I'm going to do is, when we start another year, by the grace of God, I will preach another series on the name of Jesus. Because that's all that you have. The name of Jesus in your mouth. The name of Jesus in your mouth can change your destiny. It can bring every mountain. It can bring them flat. And it can fill every valley. You can be fat and flourishing when you're able to use the name of Jesus with understanding. And that's what I've done in the last 4 weeks. My text, Romans 10, 13. And this is where I'm going to round up. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My emphasis this morning will be three. Whosoever shall call upon the name, and lastly, be saved. Before I come back to that, see Revelation chapter 1 as a way to get some of us to build faith. 1:18. See what the Bible says here. This was Jesus speaking. This is the book of the last, you know, and this is Jesus speaking, you know, to John. Revelation 1:18. He said, I am he that liveth. That's Jesus. What a way to introduce himself. And when I saw him, verse 17, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hands right upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. When God speaks to you, he opens his statement with fear not. Any word that you have, if somebody comes to give you word, and he brings fear, go and vomit. If vomitors will not come, put your hand here and vomit it out. Any word, whether it's Prophet Jeremiah, whether it's Prophet Lazarus, whether it's, you know, no matter the prophet, no matter the preacher, any word that brings fear, it is not from God. When Jesus comes, he appeared to him. He said, I fell. I was terrified. But Jesus said, fear not. God will always come with fear not. God will always come to you with an encouragement. But that's not where I'm going. I just want you to know that I am he that liveth. What an introduction. See the way Jesus introduced himself. In verse 11, he first talked about him being the Alpha and the Omega. See verse 18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Do you understand that? I was dead, but I'm alive. You know, last week I was talking to Ross about Jesus tasting both spiritual and physical death. You remember that? You go get that message, go to the website, download and listen again. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Say to your neighbor, Jesus is alive forevermore. And I like that. He said, amen. When you say amen, that's the end. They understand, hallelujah, so shall it be. Amen is an affirmation. am I he that liveth and dead, and behold, I'm alive forever. Amen. Now, what does it say? He said, now that I'm alive forever, I have the keys of hell and of death. Praise God. Death, hell are subject to me. Because, you know, last week I said to us that he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made an open show of them. He called them the dethroned power of this world. You remember that? When I was quoting for Moffat, have you gone to get Moffat translation of the Bible? Praise God. When I was giving us the Moffat translation of the Bible, he called them the dethroned power. They are power, but they are dethroned. Here he said, the keys of hell, the keys of death, they said, Jesus said, they are in my hand. Turn your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1. Very quickly, Ephesians chapter 1. See what the Bible says here. I want to bring out another point very quickly. Oh, wonderful name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may be able to know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Now, I'm getting more serious from verse 20. Look at it in your Bible. Which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Are you imagining that? He raised him from the dead. Last week, I talked about he went to hell. He rendered captivity captive. And in his trail, while going to heaven, you know, the people that were in Abraham's bosom, he released them. And so, God has raised him. God has placed him in the heavenly places. Right hand, in his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, see verse 22. Now, you want to know about positional authority and power. You need to get this now. Positional authority and power. He said, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, verse 22. Because 21 I read last week. But verse 22, emphasis. And had put all things under his feet, and gave it to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Matthew 18:18. Don't close that place. Just, you can use the Bible marker. Matthew 18:18. In my own Bible, I just said, folded that place because I'm coming back there. Matthew 18, verse 18. See what the Bible says. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now look at me. Now, I just spoke to you about a positional change. Jesus lifted, seated at the right hand side of God, far above principalities and power. And so, when you want to speak to principalities and power, how do you look? You don't look to the right. You don't look to the left, isn't it? Do you get that? When you want to speak to principalities and power, you look down. Because from that position of authority described to us, Jesus is far above principalities and power. So if it's far above the right way, if you understand English, not revelation, no, just English. If you are far above something, you want to address that thing, then you look down. You get that. Now, this is the revelation. The Bible says Jesus has been made the head of the church. So, if Jesus is the head of the church is the body. You need to get this. Is there a head that is alive that has his body cut away from it? A beautiful head. Fantastic head. But he's been cut away from the body. No matter how beautiful that head is that head alive? Speak to me, somebody. Is that head alive? If you decapitate, you know, a human being, and then you carry the head, and you put it on a platter, and then you put, you know, the Yoruba filler, you put it to the right, and you look for Awolowo Gigi, you put it there, and then you get Brashola to take a snapshot, and it take from the right, from the left. Do you understand that? Is that head alive? It's been cut away from the body. So listen, we have the body. Jesus is the head. So it means, therefore, for the head to be effective, the body must be alive. The body must understand that we must work together with the head. As the head has understood that except the body, because of the authority of the head will not be able to do much. So, the first thing you need to get is this. Not only, therefore, is Jesus that is seated in heavenly places. The church is also seated because the head cannot be taken away from the body. And the body can never be taken away from the head. So the two of them must operate from the same place. So therefore, Jesus that is sitting, even though you appear to be here, your true position is you are seated with Jesus. And when the Bible says, far above principalities, because the head and the body are always operating together, so you yourself, you are also far above principalities and power. Last week, I was speaking to Ross about joint heirs. Joint heirs, you know, the heir has signed the check. The joint heir needs to sign the check. How can they operate successfully if they are not together in the same place? And that is why Matthew 18:18, Jesus said categorically, because he knows what you don't know. And that's what you need to know this morning. Jesus knows that he is the head and the body must operate based on the authority of the head. That's why he said, whatsoever you, he's not saying whatsoever I. Because the responsibility of the church is to bind, is to loose. The responsibility of the church is to make a choice of what you want operating and what you want to seize. Hello? Did you get that, church? The responsibility of the church, of the body, that authority has been ceded to you. You have that power of attorney. Jesus saying to the church, whatsoever. You understand that? You know why? Because he knows that we are working together. Whatsoever you choose to bind on earth, whatsoever you choose to lose on earth, That responsibility is not Jesus' responsibility. That responsibility is not God's responsibility. That responsibility is not heaven's responsibility. That responsibility is yours, is mine, is the church's. Whatsoever I choose to bind is bound. It will continue to remain loose if you don't bind it. There's nothing heaven is going to do about it. There's nothing that the head is going to do about it. Because that has been seeded to you. You have the power and authority of the name of Jesus. Not of the name of Jesus alone. In the name of Jesus to bind. And so when you come and say, I bind this in the name of Jesus. Because you remember. He said, it at all, you haven't prayed my name. He said, now pray. And come to him and say, now in the name of Jesus, I bind the work of this force in my life. I bind the activity of disease and sickness in my life. I bind the activity of the devourer in my business. I bind the demon causing this bad dream. I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of death tormenting me. I bind, stagnancy in my life. When you say, I bind in the name of Jesus, it will be bound in heaven. It will be bound in heaven. Because that's what the Bible says. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And say, I lose my money in the hand of the enemies. I lose my property that my siblings or my relations are sitting on. I lose wisdom for my children. I lose understanding for my children. In the name of Jesus, it will be losing them. It will be losing them. That's what the Bible has said concerning you and I. We are in a situation because we have understood this. You have the power and authority in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in that text, he said, whosoever we call upon the name, and we are going to do that this morning very, very shortly. Whosoever we call upon the name of Jesus, we'll be saved. Whosoever we call upon the name of Jesus, we'll be saved. That save is the same save that I explained to us, Zozo. He's talking about healing and deliverance. Now, in context, as a Bible student, the context of that scripture is talking about whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved in terms of salvation, being born again. That is the context. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. I want to invite you to call upon the name of Jesus so that you can be saved. You have a life that is wasted. You have a destiny that has not started. You have a purpose that will go unfulfilled if you are not born again. Because life begins when you surrender your life to Jesus. Purpose begins when you place your life in the hand of Jesus. And that's what he's saying here. When you give your life to him, the same thing was repeated in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, I suppose. When he's talking to them about the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, but when you call upon the name of Jesus, that was the first sermon when the Holy Ghost came and Peter started talking. And it's both, for like an hour of speaking to them about what they did to Jesus, how they hated him, how they crucified him, how he rose again. And he said, bear it even your wickedness. If you can call upon the name of Jesus, whosoever amongst you will dare call upon the name of Jesus, he said, we'll be saved. No matter your situation this morning, no matter where you are, you dare call upon the name of Jesus, you will be saved. No matter how wicked you've been, no matter how bad you live your life, when you call upon the name, that name was gotten by conquest. And so no matter what trouble, no matter what the issue has been, when you call upon the name of Jesus this morning, he will conquer the demons and power that have conquered you. That is in contest. And then, by extrapolation, if you're born again, you have on the inside of you, because at salvation you were healed. At salvation you were delivered. At salvation you were free from eternal death. At salvation, you know, you have protection. But in reality, you have things that trouble your souls. You have challenges over your mind. I want you to call upon the name of Jesus this morning. When you call upon that name, there's an assurance that you'll be saved. No matter the problem that you have, no matter the challenges that you have, you are here this morning, you are sick in your body, you are sick in your brain, you are sick in your system, your business is sick, your family is sick. Whatever is sick in your life, it might not be sickness, but you are in the web of poverty. You are in web of lack and need. You know, you don't have money to run your family. You don't have money to run your businesses. I want you to call upon the name Jesus. When you call upon the name Jesus, angels will bring money. Amen, somebody. You don't believe that. When you call upon the name of Jesus, angels will bring money your way. When you call upon the name of Jesus, resources will be available. When you call upon the name of Jesus, devourers will be rebuked. That's what the Bible says. When you call upon the name of Jesus, hell will come your way. What is it that troubles you? Is your family in turmoil? Is your family challenged? You know, it's your children wayward. I want you to call upon the name of Jesus this morning. The Bible says you'll be saved. Your family will be saved. Your family will recover. Is there an habit in your life that you want to put an end to? This morning, you call upon the name of Jesus and you will be saved. I want us to see Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10. And I want us to see somebody that called upon the name of Jesus. I'm not going to go into the story. The story itself, you know, is a sermon. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And somebody said, Pastor, did he shout like that? Yes, he did. He did. Because I can imagine here, you have a crowd, a multitude around Jesus. When you have a crowd and a multitude around a person, they are not quiet. They are talking, gossiping, saying all kinds of things. It's like when you're on the campaign ground, you know, and then you have the candidate coming, there's an eruption of noise and joy and shout, whether for or against. So I want you to imagine that. And so here, Bartimaeus, the blind, couldn't have been saying Jesus. He couldn't have been speaking phonetics. He couldn't have spoken coolly. He could have only shouted and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He shouted and people heard. I said, he cannot hear you. You keep quiet. But the Bible says, he shouted the more. And Jesus used it. I want to bring out 3 or 4 points before we pray. On what made Jesus to stand still. Because you know that some other people in that crowd were calling the name of Jesus. You need to imagine that. Because there's nobody to know why do you have a lot of crowd in there? I say it's Jesus that is passing. They called the name of Jesus. I said, we Jesus, I say, Jesus the son of carpenter. And the other, who is going? Jesus is going. But Jesus did not stand still to those callings, to those names. So the first point I want you to know is this. If the name of Jesus is not called with an expectation, he will not answer. That's the first point. You must call the name with an expectation. I want us to stop the rubbish and jargon of calling the name of Jesus when something pains you. Using the name of Jesus as an exclamation mark. You are riding in your car, you kill a hen, and say, Jesus. Those are kind of calling. Some people called, and Jesus did not stand still. Those calling will not make Jesus to stand still. Let's stop using Jesus as an exclamation mark. It's so bad now, you know, my wife was talking about Gen Z. Get your children out of Gen Z. Don't use Gen Z excuse for them. You know, this and I say, geez. You understand? I say, geez. What nonsense. You've created abbreviation for your children name. You want to create one for Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus. I say, it's after you haven't prayed in my name. His name is not Jesus. Matthew 1:21. He said, call his name Jesus. Say to your friend, Jesus. It's not Jesus. It's Jesus. There's no translation of the Bible. There's no modernization of the Bible. If you saw it, it's from Satan. They say, Gen Z translation, Jesus. Go and burn that Bible. That's not this Bible. He said, the name of Jesus. You call it with expectation. Like we are going to be doing in some few minutes. You have to call the name with an expectation in your heart. You have to call the name, expect that it will stand still. Bartimaeus, call him to get his attention. So another way I put it is call the name of Jesus to get his attention. Don't call the name of Jesus to relieve yourself, you know, of anxiety. Don't call the name of Jesus to relieve yourself of a shock. Don't call the name of Jesus, you know, to relieve yourself or whatever the issue with you. Call the name of Jesus so that you can get his attention. Number two, how he called the name of Jesus. He called the name of Jesus because you see Jesus as the only solution, veritable solution to his problem. Listen. When you see him as an alternative, you will not stand still. The man had been begging for years. The begging was just able to keep his sustenance. The begging hadn't been able to change his destiny. The begging hasn't been able to change his life. He knew that this is the veritable tool. Jesus is not an alternative in your problem. Jesus is the solution to your problem. You know, most of the time, we call the name of Jesus either as an option A or as an option B. He will not stand still. When you call him as the solution that you need, he is the solution to the sickness. He is the solution to the disease. He is the solution to the challenge. When you call him as the solution, he will rise for you. Number three, his call or voice echoes faith's and resolve. His voice echoes faith and resolve. His voice was saying, today, Jesus must answer me. Today. How can you imagine? The Bible says Jesus, he went into Jericho, and when he got in there, he went out of Jericho. It was like he got in there and said, I'm changing my mind. There's something that attracted him. When he changed, there's this man, blind Bartimaeus. He didn't see, but was hearing noises, voices, footsteps. What is happening? And they said to him, it's Jesus. You know what made him to call Jesus? Listen, ladies and gentlemen. His call was a consequence of the things he's heard about Jesus. He couldn't have called Jesus with that kind of resolve if he hadn't heard that Jesus had opened the blind eyes. The Jesus had made the lame to walk. The Jesus, you know, has provided food for 5,000 from 5 loaves of bread and 7 fishes. He wouldn't have called on Jesus if he hasn't heard about how Jesus created eyeballs, created sockets, you know, in the eyes of where there was none. He wouldn't have called on Jesus even if he heard that Jesus, you know, has raised the dead. And so it's hard enough to generate faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I preach enough of Jesus to you in the last 4 weeks for you to generate faith. When he heard, he said, in Jesus, thou son of David. In case there's some other Jesus in that congregation, I'm not about you. I'm about Jesus, the son of David. He cried louder, have mercy on me. You need to call upon the name with faith in your heart. With resolve in your heart. You resolve in your heart in Jesus. Will not answer. I will call until I get his attention. He must answer. Lastly, he called that name without shame. He called that name without shame. He did not have any shame. You know what the Bible says? He said, when Jesus said, come, he threw away the garments. He threw away whatever he'd been using to cover. He ran to Jesus. You call on the name of Jesus, not minding the shame, not minding who will say you are disturbing me. He wasn't ashamed. Lastly, call on the name, total dependence on him for results. When you call upon the name of Jesus this morning, you have to depend wholly on him for results. Whatever the problem is, whatever the challenge is, whatever is absent in your life, when you call upon his name now, it will be created. I assure you that. Whatever is lacking in your life, when you call upon the name of Jesus, now it will be created. Let me round up. 2 scriptures. Proverbs. And I want to go there very quickly. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs 18:10. And then be ready to pray. Proverbs 18, verse 10. I'm looking for Proverbs. Why am I looking for Proverbs after Genesis? Will I ever be there before 12 o'clock? I'm looking for Proverbs after Genesis. It's not like, okay, that's the person that wants us to go very quickly. He helped me to know where the proverb is. That is not after Genesis. What is after Genesis? Exodus. And proverb is not after Revelation. Because after Revelation, there's nothing else. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. Another translation says, the name of Jesus is a fortress. The name of Jesus is not only a tower. The name of Jesus is a bunker. Praise God. You know, now there's war in the Middle East. You know, when the Lebanon army and the Iranian, when they throw some of the things, you know, the Israelites will go into the bunker. In the bunker, there's nothing that you throw that will hit the bunker. You have bunker reserved for citizens, and you have bunker reserved for their prime minister. So when they hear that they shot, you know, an arrow or a missile that is coming, they send an alarm and everybody tries to go to the nearest bunker. You know, and the president, they go, you know, to their own bunker. The U.S. has a bunker for the president in the White House. Nothing ever gets there. Have you watched America is down, or America is attacked or something? Eh? No, that's not London. London, too, they have. America is attacked or something. You know, you go and look for that. When they invaded the White House, you know, they carried the president to the bunker. That place, there's no... The code, nobody has the code to the bunker. You know, I think it's in the London, too, invaded. You know, you press the thing, there's nothing. But you hear anybody pour water, but it doesn't get into the bunker. Those people read the Bible. That's where they got inspiration from. They are inventors. You know that if you're a Christian, you have a sound mind. You don't have a sound mind. You have a productive mind. They just read Proverbs 18:10. They said we can recreate it. But glory to Jesus. The name of Jesus is stronger than the strongest bunker. The Bible says the righteous run into it. And he's saved. He's protected. He's lifted. When the righteous run into the name of Jesus. That's what I'll be doing now. You will run into the name of Jesus. Psalm 21. Not Psalm 21. Psalm 21. See what the Bible says? You need to get this. These are scriptures. There is power in the scriptures. When your eyes are open, I like the excitement to Proverbs 18:10. Look, some people caught the revelation. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name. In the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You don't need a shield. You don't need ayeta. You don't need nothing. Praise God. He said all the protection that you want, all the covering that you want, all the hiding that you want. The Bible says, the name of Jesus will defend you. Not in terms of physical defense alone. You know that sometimes you have your enemies attacking you where you are not. And they are discussing. You know, some will be speaking against you. Some authority will be speaking against you. Some ruler will be saying, remove him from that position. Some people will be saying that, you know, kill her. Some will say, don't give her the post. Some will say, don't give him the opportunity. But the Bible says, the name of Jesus in that meeting that you are not present. Oh, shadabakata yabash. Oh, shakaya kata yabash. You know, so a few months ago, there's somebody ran to me, a powerful person. He said, "Doctor Akande, are you in the office?" "I'm in the office, sir." And he came, you know, and he was coming from the house of another powerful person. He said, "We are waiting to see a powerful person. And somebody came, started saying all kind of, you know, negative things about you. Say all kind of things about you." He said, "So, we too, we must begin to do something." I said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "God bless you, sir." He said, we must see another powerful person. I said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "Thank you, sir." When he left my office, you know, I just continued to do my job. You know, be careful of what you hear and how you hear. Me, that the name of Jacob is my defense. The name of Jesus is protect. The banner is there. Me that I call upon the name of Jesus, I'm in the fortress. Where will I be going to? Who would I be talking to? God of Jesus. The Bible says, the name of God of Jacob will defend you. I submit you this morning that you have it. Explore. You know that Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Let me give you another translation. Who said, whosoever invoke, I like that translation. He said, instead of using call, he said, whosoever shall invoke the name of the Lord. You haven't invoked that name. You haven't invoked that name. You Google and see the meaning of invoke. Whosoever will invoke the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't explored the name that is in Jesus. We are too indolent. We are too passive. It's like you have an AK-47 in your hand and you see a goat that is eating your yam, and you are saying to the goat, "He will ensure in power. He will ensure in power." And you have AK-47. He's sitting the first tumor. He's sitting the second tumor. You know, like some people are messing up with some people's destiny here this morning. Some people are toiling with some people's destiny this morning. What belongs to you is in the hand of the adversary this morning. And all that you are doing is that, ensure you. Ensure on you, and you have AK-47, and say, "Ensure on you, ensure on you, ensure on you." Do you understand? Have you seen some old video before? You know, they are fighting two people. One carry gun, the other carry gun, and say, "Where did you collect the money?" And we do like this. And the other one of you, "Where did you keep Engbe Madan Kebi Mwafi Mwafi Mwafi?" Do you understand? You know, is in no video that you see all those kind of stupid people. And you know that's the way some of us be acting in our life. You carry the name of Jesus, but you don't know the importance. Come on, rise to your feet, ladies and gentlemen. You have the name in your mouth, but what are you doing with the name Jesus? You have the power in your mouth. What are you doing with that power? The name of Jesus. We're going to pray. The wonderful name, Jesus, the wonderful name, Jesus, the wonderful name, Jesus, there is no other name, I know, the wonderful name.
Wonderful name,
Jesus,
Jesus,
the wonderful name. I want you to think one thing. I want you to think one thing. Whether you want to create it, whether you want to correct it, whether you want to ameliorate it, I want you to think of one thing. And you are going to call the name of, I'm not going to give you the one. You are going to call upon that name. And you are going to say, I command, if you want to create, I call into existence A-B-Y in the name of Jesus. And then you begin to pray the Holy Ghost. In its finances, whatever you need, mean it. If you need a millionaire, if you need 2 million naira, businesses. here with you now, based on the Bible. Before I pray, let me tell you what I'll be preaching on next week. We have people around you going through some pains, challenges. Invite them. I'll be preaching on the gains of your pain. That's what I'll be preaching on next week. The Bible says, if two of us, so the congregation, you are one. I am one. So the two of us shall agree on earth as touching a thing, it shall be done. And so, whatever you bound, I'm going to agree with you to bind them. Whatever you lose in terms of creation, I'm going to agree with you. It's prayer of agreement. So, twofold, you call the name of Jesus, then I'm going to stand in agreement with you. On those two grounds, things will happen in your life. Things will happen in your life. And so, Father, I stand together with your saints. It is written, if the two of us shall agree on earth as touching a thing, it shall be done by my Father that is in heaven. I shall agree with your saints concerning whatever they answer in the name of Jesus. I declare according to God's word, it is done in Jesus' name. I say it is done in Jesus' name. Come on, I say it is done in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, put your hands together.